To the subject of today, joy, the joy of the Lord. And we know our key scripture from Galatians chapter 5, that but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So, like we mentioned last week, the fruit of the Spirit is a biblical term that sums up all the nine attributes of the Holy Spirit in a person. And I've been reading, I think yesterday I was praying and reading, and something came to me that apart from that, those attributes manifesting in a person, it could also be manifested through a church. The fruit of the Spirit should also be seen in a church. The fruit of the Spirit, yes, a church could be a church of love. A church could be a church that is bursting with joy and has peace and, of course, endures with people, shows kindness to people, is good, is faithful to the doctrines of Christ, is gentle, of course, controls themselves. The church should also live in accordance with the Holy Spirit and manifest all these things in their lives, corporately in what they do, and of course, individually. All right? And I also mentioned that the fruits, some takes time. Yeah, it takes time. Don't beat yourself if you give your life to Christ and then you want to conquer the world in one day or you want to be there in one week, but you are not. The Lord works in our lives differently. You know, there are some people who give their life to Christ and the next day or the next week they are off doing something very powerful and they are going around in the street, you know, sharing the gospel, you know, and you feel intimidated because you are not doing that. Those things could take time. But all in all, people should see that the fruit is there. And it's not hidden. It cannot be hidden. It is actually the Lord walking in our lives. Fruit of the Spirit, not my fruit. But he calls us to come to this relationship where we yield ourselves continually unto him and allow him to help us grow like Jesus Christ and grow stronger in what we believe in. So, joy. We'll be talking about joy today. And I would like to, you know, bring it to us in three different ways. I'd like to say maybe what joy is not, you know, because it's not everything that I could say is joy. And having said that, I will also try to propose to us what joy is. And then how do we activate joy in our lives? And finally, some of the things I have found that could be hindrances to us in showing forth the fruit of the Spirit, joy in our lives. Remember that as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and he works in our lives and manifesting these nine attributes, we will also have in mind that the Holy Spirit works in us, and at the same time, he doesn't want us to allow the acts of the flesh to take a hold of us. And that was why the apostle began in verse 19 by saying, now the works of the flesh is evident, or are evident, which are, I don't know if I can get it, right. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, and it goes on and goes on and says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, which means they've been warned before, they've been, you know, told these things, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Each time I read that word, and each time I go to that end, those who practice, those who make a practice of sin, it says in the Bible, if you are born of God, you will not sin, right? But when we read from the later translations, we discover that what is actually saying is that we will not live in habitual sin. We will not make a practice of sin. So anyone that takes delight in allowing themselves to be controlled and going to the extent of making a practice of these things will not be the ones that will give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to manifest these attributes. In fact, they are one against each other. It's either here or there. It's either I allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life, to manifest these things and to bless lives, or I yield to the flesh. And the more I yield to the flesh, the more the Holy Spirit's work will be less evident in my life. There is a man of God a long time ago. I don't know if you read about him, T.L. Osborne. I don't know if anyone have read anything about T.L. Osborne. There was a time he came to Nigeria while I was still there before he went to glory. And he said something that has stayed with me ever since. He says, anytime a Christian sins, something in him dies. Anytime we allow the Holy Spirit to kind of have less influence in our life, something dies. And if I continually do that continually, and things begin to die, and you will find the person being in the flesh, as it were, and not allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest this. He said, those who make a practice of these things, they will not inherit, point blank, in black and white, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that is the center of the gospel. Those who make a practice of sin, those who live in the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we will continue to allow the world and the spirit. I like to describe myself that I'm someone of the world and the spirit. I like the world and the spirit to do these things in my life. And then I will continually open myself up to the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, in 16, he said, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. So when we give our lives to Christ, something happens instantly. But then again, it is now left to us to continually open up ourselves by walking in the Spirit. I remember the Word and the Spirit. They should have that interplay in our lives, producing the works of God in our life. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The seed is there to do the things of God, but when we don't walk with the Holy Spirit, then we are not able to rise up and do what we want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So being led by the Spirit is walking with the Spirit and allowing the fruits to manifest in our lives. The character traits, like I said, of Jesus. But again, the source is God himself, not us. The source is the Lord. So I've told us last week that the Greek word for fruit is kapos. Do you remember? And it talks about the offspring, the deed, the action, the result, and the profit of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't think joy is synonymous with happiness. People today tend to be caught in a rat race for happiness. Will I get joy in doing this? Is this person going to make me happy? Just the rat race for happiness. But I say happiness is elusive because I know you will agree with me. It depends on our circumstances, right? It depends on what happens to us. It is just superficial, but joy is serene and stable. It is rooted in God and comes from God. Joy is not circumstantial. And that's why sometimes you could see someone in hospital, but they are bubbling with the joy of the Lord. It's confusing. It could be confusing to those who are in the world when you should, you know, have a pity party, things have happened that it's not the way you had expected, but yet you have that joy in you, that knowing that the presence of God is with you. And you can see someone, even in the hospital bed, witnessing to someone else, preaching to that person, you know, letting them know that the joy of God is real in my life. So joy is, I think, is different from happiness. Now, if I depend on happiness, what happens when my partner dies or when my dad dies or, you know, when the toy gets rotten or when the party is over? What happens? It's not circumstantial. Joy is supernatural. It comes from God. People seek happiness, but we don't seek happiness. The Lord gives us joy in our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. Joy is something that confuses the world, but it is what the Lord gives us. And I also like to say the absence of joy is not sorrow, but the absence of joy is hopelessness, right? Yes, because sometimes it could be normal for us to, you know, face disappointments or, you know, when problems come, difficult situations, and we might, you know, feel down and out, and it will show in us, in our faces, and we'll feel sad from time to time. But sometimes those things go up and they go down, they come and they definitely go. For example, when I lost my dad, and I've told you this story before, but what people don't know is that when that happened was the year I opted for the ministry, full-time ministry. And if I remember that, I really just think the church would do it differently. Because rather than taking care of me pastorally and, you know, giving me pastoral care and you know, that someone going through grief and loss, people came to me and said, well, I don't know what to say to you. You know it all. And they walked past. They came and rather than ministering to me, caring for me, praying for me, so I had it all here, and it was very heavy on me and was now affecting my health. Until one dear lady, I can't forget, she's gone to be with the glory of the Lord now. She pulled me by the side and said, Henry, don't be afraid to show your sorrow. You are still human. We know you are the pastor, but you are still human. Don't be afraid to release them all, release these things. Don't have it here. And I went home that day, and I wept, and I cried for the first time after my dad left. You know what? After that season and time of weeping and crying, I felt very light. I felt very, very, you know, very, very free. And I told people that, well, you weren't very kind to me. And it taught me from that time till now how to care for people. Of course, you all know I was a hospital chaplain before I came here. You know, it's not helpful when you visit someone trying to care for them and you say, I know what you're going through. You don't know. You don't know what they are going through. Even if you've passed through similar things, you don't know. It could be unhelpful at that time because you don't know what they are going through. They only know what they are going through. But what I'm saying is that we could have these times, these moments of ups and downs, but the joy of the Lord in us will make us remember. When I remember that my dad has gone to be with the Lord, because he made peace with Christ. He became a believer in Christ, and then suddenly joy came in here, knowing where he is and where he's gone. And he's, of course, he wouldn't want me to be sorrowing. He wouldn't want me to do that. He would want me to go rejoicing because he is in a better place. And that is joy, because it is something the Lord gives us, and it shows who we are. Joy also is supernatural. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? From above. From above. And joy is a good gift. It's a perfect gift from the Lord. It is supernatural. Joy is supernatural. It's not natural at all. It doesn't exist at the soul level. It is supernatural. It imparted to us by the Lord himself. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When you are in a difficult situation, remember the joy of the Lord is your strength. In hospital bed, remember, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When you've got some news that is not pleasant, remind yourself, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I've got hospital appointments upcoming and I don't know what to do and I'm thinking too much about children and grandchildren, remember, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not circumstantial. It is something that I am. And I remember where I'm going. I remember who is with me. And then it will well up in me. Romans 15 verse 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I like to say also that joy flows out of a life of gratitude. We must live in gratitude to God, thanking God for what he's done in our lives. And sometimes when we find ourselves thanking him regardless, you see joy will well up. Do you remember the story of Paul and Silas when they were thrown in prison? What did they do? Rather than going and sorrowing, you know, they went on singing, praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them because they were audible. They were loud enough for them to listen to them. Let me tell you, if you have got something, you should be proud of it. Right? When I gave my life to Christ, I lived in a place and I grew up in a place that there were some people who were very proud of what they did, which is not what people should be proud of, all right? And that challenged me. If I've got something I believe is powerful, I should be proud of it. I should show people that I'm a child of God, all right? If people, they take pride in what they do, which is not good. But what I'm saying is that when God does things in our lives, we should be able to show that forth by praising him and not allowing the enemy rejoice over us. You know, there are sometimes that enemy of our soul does something or says something that he wants you to lock yourself and go on a pity party. But when you turn around and show him that, no, what is in here is greater than what is out there, he will be the one to go a-sorrowing, not you, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise the name of the Lord. Joy is a characteristic of the kingdom. It grows from that quiet confidence that we know we are part of the kingdom. And yeah, I've told us about Acts 16. Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not of eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you are part of the kingdom of God, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost should be one of the badges that you carry. And there is a scripture that I like reading, Psalm 16, verse 11. Each time I read this scripture, I get inspired. He said, "He will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And I like to read sometimes, I say, it doesn't say pleasures, but it says pleasures. Right? The devil wants us to have pressure, but the Holy Spirit gives us the pleasures of his presence. And it's forevermore. It is forever. When I'm sick or when I'm not sick, it's forever. Joy does not depend on what happens to me. That's what I'm saying. He gives us that pleasure, the pleasures of his presence, the joy of the Lord forever. So let's cling on to Jesus and allow him to walk in our lives and also abide in us. As he promised in John chapter 15, he promised to abide with us forever as we also remain in him. And if we remain in him, the joy will well up in us and remain in us also. That joy that knows no bound will remain in us. And finally, before I go to the other one and conclude, is I like to say that joy is commanded. You have to tell yourself always, continually, that you have to live in joy. I give you some scriptures, and if you can read it afterwards, if you remember, Psalm 32, verse 11, Psalm 68, verse 3, and Psalm 100. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly." So joy is commanded. So we are supposed to choose to live in joy. Now, having said all that, how can I activate joy in my life? I believe the first and foremost thing is to allow the word of God to live in me. You remember the prophet Jeremiah in the Bible? In chapter 15 of Jeremiah, when he was faced with difficult situations, he didn't know what to do. The Lord gave him the word in verse 16. He says, "Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." You know, Isaiah and Jeremiah were sort of dramatic prophets, and Ezekiel sometimes. Sometimes they played out their prophecies, and they acted out what God wanted to tell them, or what God wanted them to tell the people. What he is saying here is that he literally ate the word of God, and that thing in him gave him joy. And I like to say to myself, each time I read the Bible, I don't just read, I study the Bible. And when I study the Bible, I see that joy comes up from the Bible and gets to me. Psalm 119, verse 111 says, "Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." So the first and foremost thing is that let's allow this thing to be in us. Because when the word of God dwells in us richly, then the Holy Spirit will work in our lives. And also, through worship and songs, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4. And enter his courts with praise. Let's read it together, please, if I can get it now. Yes, get it. Psalm 100, verse 4. Can we read, please? "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Praise the name of the Lord. That's one of the ways that we could allow the Holy Spirit work in our lives and let joy have its way. By singing, you know, by singing. And I've told us most times when I drive, I like to listen, you know, to what I call soaking music. And sometimes when I pray also, I listen to songs or I sing myself. And sometimes when I do, I also hum, and they will ask me, why are you humming? Yes, because joy is in here, and it shows forth by my songs. So sometimes when you don't feel like it, try to do some songs. It will work, right? When you know, the enemy comes to remind you of several things, your hospital appointments, or you are not able to get an appointment, or you've got some news that is just weighing you down, try this. Just busting songs, begin to sing, and you see something will happen in you. Let me close by saying there are some one or two things that I have found that could hinder us flowing in joy. Number one is the difficulties of life. I tell you, when things like I've mentioned now, they come from left, from right, and sometimes you don't even know how to explain them, they could weigh you down. They could prevent the joy of the Lord, you know, showing forth. But what do we do at that time? Remind yourself of who you are. And remind yourself of the promises of God. And if possible, sing to the Lord. And also know that whatever you're seeing today, the Lord will walk with you. The Lord will surely show a way. If you believe the word of God, it will make a difference. Praise God, that whatever they are, I know that he is with me, and I know he will show me the path of life. I believe him, that whatever he says, he will do. And sometimes after praying those things and confessing God's word, you turn around and things don't change. Also remember, I don't serve God because of what I get. I serve him because I love him. I don't serve him because he wants to answer me. He will answer me. He might choose to answer differently, but I serve him because I love him. Praise God. And that's the key. That's the key. You know, when people say, come to Christ and all your troubles will be rolled away, I don't think it's entirely true. Yes, it is true, but not entirely true. We don't come to Christ because he wants to roll away all our problems. Like some people do in some places, they say when you give to God, he will give back to you. And some people think that God is doing by trade, by barter. You know, they give God one and he gives them two. No, we don't give to him because we want him to give back to us. We give him because we love him. And we want his work to succeed. And so we serve God because we love him, not because of what we get. I have seen some beautiful, powerful Christians who are still praying that the Lord will heal them physically. I have seen, right? And I've seen some people the next minute, miracles will happen and they will receive their healing or recovery. But whatever happens, it is just because I love him. That's why I come to him, not because of what I will get out of him. Above all, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So those problems of life could you know, put the joy down. All those stresses of life. Or even common thing like driving. There are some countries that road rage is quite pronounced than in this country. There are very obedient drivers in the UK, I must say. Yeah, I've lived in a place that road rage is something else. People could just honk at you when you drive, or they could even say some words, you know what I mean, to you when you drive. But sometimes those things could weigh on you and could even impact on your joy. And before you know it, how you react to people will be like transferred aggression. Don't allow the devil do that. Don't allow him do that. Each time you see some of those things happening and they are trying to get a hold of you, just stop for a moment. Why am I reacting this way? This is not me. This is not how a Christian should react. This is not how a Christian should do. All right, let me take a second or remind myself, the joy of the Lord is my strength. and then I will show forth the joy. I want us to pray for ourselves and pray for our fellowship, that the Lord will help us to show forth joy wherever we go this week. And whether the enemy likes it or not, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Let us pray. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He gives me living water, and I will thirst no more. Father, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Thank you for bringing us into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord, for the work of your Holy Spirit in us. Help us, Lord, to live out the joy of the Lord. Wherever we go, use us, Lord, to share and distribute your joy. Use us, Lord, even when the situation is sorry. When we come in, Lord, the joy of the Lord will change everywhere and the atmosphere will be electrified with the joy of the Lord. Help us, Lord, as we go on ahead serving you, that we will remind ourselves of who we are. Father, we pray, O Lord, for anyone at this time, perhaps they are going through something that is impacting on their joy. Maybe a sickness, maybe some news they've got, they've received from family or friends, maybe something coming up that they are worried about. An appointment in the hospital or an appointment here and there, or something that is just weighing them down. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will do this work in us, that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. That these things will not define who we are, but we are children of the kingdom. I pray, Lord, that you will walk through those circumstances, walk through those situations, walk through all those things that they are passing through or they are anticipating, Lord, and produce something good out of them. Heavenly Father, we trust you and we believe you. And we know he who began a good work in us, you will complete it unto a successful end. To the glory of your name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.